You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Rosie Carney. I love when I get to talk to Irish artists, largely because Ireland is a second home to me, but also because I fiercely believe there's something in the water that allows musicians to express themselves in a truly incomparable way. Rosie Carney's latest album, also her debut album, Bear, is a prime example of just that. The album showcases a human opening up in a way that's truly captivating and crystallizing in terms of pure honesty. On this episode, I chat with Rosie for the first time. We talk about how she found herself in music, how she's cultivated her skill at songwriting, and the song stories behind Bear. This is the 405 Exchange with Rosie Carney. Enjoy. I think a lot of people would agree that music is at its best when it's quite reflective, especially in regards to real experiences. And on your debut album, Bear, it essentially is that, an encapsulation of your experiences. There's always variations of this question, but I feel it's highly applicable here, especially at the start of a talk. Does it surprise you that you were able to write about these experiences in a way to make up a body of work?
To make up a body of work?
Yeah.
Does it surprise me? No, I think it just comes so naturally to me, you know? It's like each of these songs, when I'm writing them, I'm not thinking that, you know, they each thread together so naturally, and that's like not, I didn't plan on that happening. I guess it just happens. It's just a nice surprise that happens at the end of all of it. But yeah, it doesn't surprise me with each experience. For me, writing is like a very cathartic experience. So long as I'm being honest with my music, then they're all gonna like thread together in some way, you know?
Yeah. You know, something I always find myself thinking about from a music fan perspective, and I don't think I've put it as succinct as I'm about to, because I just have it in my head, but like, I always kind of imagine musicians writing about something, not being aware of what it's about,
mm-hmm.
and then within that same day, maybe making dinner, going to a bar, or having a coffee or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then you realizing what you're writing about, and then
yeah.
having a moment of like, oh shit. Does that ever happen?
That happened with my song Awake Me. I didn't realise what I was writing that song about. I just remember it took me like 20 minutes or so to write that song. And I finished writing it, and it like just, it dawned on me. I was like, oh shit, this song is very honest. So yeah, that was when I started playing it. And, you know, every time I play that song, all my music, you know, but specifically that song because of what it's about. Every time I perform it, a part of me is like, you know, released into it. So yeah.
I'm glad you brought Awake Me Up, because that's actually the first song of yours I heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was my kind of introduction to you. And I'd love to hear about how that one came together in regards to just like, not just lyrically, but musically as well.
So I always start with the music when I'm writing a song. I find myself, the music is what inspires the lyrics. So that one, it took about 20 minutes for me to write, and I started with just the melody on the guitar, and then honestly, it was as if somebody had put the words. It was like somebody was passing the words through me, and they were just coming out of me, and yeah, so it came about. I mean, it didn't take long at all. But some songs do take a long time to write, you know.
Yeah.
But I do find it's the ones that take, you know, 20 minutes to an hour to write. They're the ones that just, like Thousand as well. That only took like a handful of minutes to write.
That's good to hear. I am going to ask you about Thousand, but before I do, I want to talk
mm-hmm.
a bit more about Awake Me.
Sure.
Because it does have a very lovely music video, and
yes.
I feel like what you got to do in this video is
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, I imagine this is always the aim, but it really nicely encapsulated the way your music feels
yes.
in a sense of intimate.
Yeah.
It's a very intimate
mm-hmm.
music video. Your music, to me,
mm-hmm.
when I experienced it, it's very intimate and also tangible.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the music video itself was tangible. What was it like to make that happen, like to have that conveyed within a video?
It was such a personal project for me to work on, because I knew exactly what I wanted, and I made it with my boyfriend at the time. Like there's a massive abandoned hotel in my hometown where we live, and I went and asked if we could film there, and I flew my cousin over. So that's my cousin in the music video, Izzy, yeah. We flew her over, and we just kind of did it all together. Like, my dad helped, and Yeah, it was a really personal project, so it was really amazing to get to, you know, kind of put visuals to the meaning behind that song. I mean, it's quite a dark music video, but my favourite part is the end when she, like, kind of gets released from that horrible place where she's trapped, which is the hotel, and she's, like, amongst nature, and I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to get at in the song, in the lyrics.
I think you did a good job of that, because
thank
within
you.
That moment you talk about in the video,
mm-hmm.
there's that element of, like, freedom, but as a release to be within that freedom,
yeah.
I felt like I got from that.
Oh, I'm glad you got that.
Yeah. So you know what's so funny? I usually don't like enjoy comparing musicians
mm-hmm.
at all. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
But with this next song I'm going to bring up, like your song Humans,
yeah.
it kind of reminded me a little bit of the songwriting of Father John Misty a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't actually listened to that much of Father John Misty,
yeah.
so I'm not really too familiar with it. Like, obviously, I'm very aware of Father John Misty, but I definitely need to listen to more, but thank you.
Yeah, well, what would be funny is for you to listen to him in a day or two from now and be like, what the fuck is that guy talking about? But this is one of those songs I find myself thinking, like, God, obviously, all songs are an extraction of some sort, especially
mm-hmm.
whether it be experience and emotion and feeling. But
yeah.
with a song like Humans, what do you feel was that you were getting out of you? And what was it like just bringing it to life, that song?
I was feeling so isolated I remember I was going through quite a tough little time. I'm always going through a tough little time. But specifically when I wrote that song, I was just kind of wanting somebody to sit down and say, like, it's fine, I feel this way as well, you know, you don't have to be brave. And I try to remind myself as well, another thing that inspired this song is the feeling I get before I go on stage, I to, like, kind of calm my nerves down, I try to remind myself that, you know, everybody's human, everybody's felt scared before in some way or another. Yeah, I can't remember the question, I've just gone off.
No, that's the whole point of the talk.
Cool.
You pretty much did get to it.
Well,
you talked about what inspired it, but I guess also what did it feel like to get that song out of you?
Oh, relief. It was like, again, when every time I write a song, it's cathartic, it's a release for me. It can be hard. I remember writing that song, I was very teary as I wrote it because I realised that I was hurting a lot. And it was just, it's kind of like being in a therapy session,
yeah.
you know, it's very therapeutic.
Yeah, I really love the fact that you pointed out that element of how you really wanted someone to relate to you and how
yeah.
even the strength of saying you're having a tough time, because
yeah.
I mentioned a little bit before at the recorder, Ireland's quite a second home to me and
yeah.
I love your country dearly.
It's beautiful.
But there is that weirdness about, like, how people are so openly emotional in regards to joy,
yes.
but so much not anything else.
Oh my gosh, it is the most, everybody's so hidden in that way. Like, yeah, people in Ireland, they're the friendliest people ever. Like, they, you know, everyone says hello to you, everyone smiles at you, but nobody talks about it. There's a reason why it's a country with one of the highest rates of suicide, because nobody talks about how they're feeling.
Yeah.
When, if it's bad feelings, no one talks about it. If they're struggling, it's almost looked down upon. Like my grandparents, my granddad especially, who was brought up in like a really raw Catholic Ireland, you know, it was deemed not cowardly, but just you have to be a tough man, you know, that works in the land. That's how he was brought up, being taught. But yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame that that's the way it is, but I feel like it's getting better.
I feel like it is too, especially with the more times I go. I've never had a chance to ask an Irish person this, and I think it'd be very illuminating, especially
mm-hmm.
because so much of your feelings are within your music. But
mm-hmm.
with what you just described, within recognizing how it's very friendly, but people don't tend to talk about their feelings,
yes.
when do you feel like you became aware of that? Like, do you feel like it took leaving Ireland and coming back to be aware of it, or do you feel like you recognized that while growing up?
Whilst growing up, actually, I think I made just a conscious decision to start talking about it. I'm such a sensitive person, and, you know, I really struggle if I don't talk about how I'm feeling. You know, I feel a lot. If I'm not crying for something that's going on in my life, I'm crying about something that's completely out of my control, you know. Yeah, I tried pushing it down, because that's what everybody around me seemed to be doing. Like, not my family, but just, like, in school, and, you know, there definitely was such a stigma, and you tend to try and follow that, because you don't want to be the first person to break away from that and then start talking about how you're feeling, especially if it's bad. And that's when things got too much for me, and that's when real damage started to happen. So I remember I just made a conscious decision. I mean, it took a mental breakdown, but I decided, you know, I have to talk, I have to be open, I have to be honest. We have to be honest with each other. We have to create a safe space for everyone around us, for generations ahead of us, you know. We have to be that change.
Yeah, it's beautiful that you find the ability and the strength to do that within song. I mean, I think
very
so
lucky.
Many... Yeah. You know, something that I think is interesting to me, and I always find myself marveled at it, and I've talked to some Irish musicians about this, Villagers,
yeah,
and the De Laurentiis guys, is
mm-hmm.
that I think what's very particular about the way a lot of Irish musicians write, and I'd put you within this sphere as well, that's why I'm telling you, is that there's this innate ability that your music has where the words have to be listened to. And I bring that up as a music listener, where usually words come very secondary to
mm-hmm.
me. Like, I can listen to a song for a year or two before a word sticks
yeah.
out. But I feel like with your music, the words are so crucial and prominent.
They are. So, again, whenever I'm writing my songs, it's the music that I do first, and the lyrics are what inspired by... The melody, sorry, inspires the lyrics. But, yeah, I feel that I have something to say, and I try and have a message within every song that I have. And, yeah, I want people to be able to hear what I'm trying to say, otherwise I'm not... You know, my dad, for instance, bless him,
yeah.
he loves music. He's like my biggest fan, you know.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know. He listens to the melody more than he hears the lyrics, and he'll listen to my music and he'll be like, yeah, it's really lovely, but he doesn't really know what I'm saying. But...
That sounds very helpful.
Yeah, it's great. So I go to him for my to, you know, critique my melody. But yeah, I'm glad that you feel that the lyrics are important, because what am I trying to say? I feel like I'm beating around the bush. Yes, lyrics are important. Listen to the lyrics.
Wow. You see, you got there,
train
though.
Train crash.
What's so much like train? It's called like a skrr.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Oh, God.
Tell me this, with your dad, because that was something really beautiful you just said there. Like, with him being such a music lover,
yes,
and like you becoming a musician,
mm-hmm.
like, do you feel like when you were growing up and you were getting involved with music, you kind of saw a joy from him?
Oh, my God, yeah. My mum and my dad, they are... Yeah, they're amazing. So I was... Growing up, I was exposed to so much amazing music, like anything from classical to, like, you know, rock, soul, everything. They played everything, and we'd always have instruments in our houses. Like, we've always had a piano, we've always had guitars, and we were never told that we weren't allowed to play them, even if we were on the verge of breaking the instrument. Like,
yeah,
we were never told to put it down or to stop. We were always allowed. We were always given the space to express ourselves. And yeah, I've always seen how passionate they are about music. Like, all my memories are linked to a song. You know, every time I hear a song, I go back. Like, a song that means something to me, it takes me back to my childhood and seeing how happy it made my parents. And just, you know, yeah, they definitely have taught me the love of music.
Wow.
You know?
What I love so much about what you brought up, it sounds like such a little thing, but... I mean, when kids are raised in households, there are those elements of rules, and like,
yeah,
especially with instruments, it makes a lot of sense that a lot of parents have that thing like, don't touch the instrument
yeah,
this time.
Yeah, it's like
but...
a prop. It's a bit of furniture, don't touch
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but you did experience that. That's amazing.
I've been so blessed to have such an amazing upbringing. Like, my parents are very liberal. Like, they're kind of, I call them hippies because they are quite, like, my dad built an eco-friendly house. We live in an eco-friendly house in Ireland. Like, we,
really?
It's basically made out of trees and straw.
Wow.
So it's really amazing. We've always been given the space to really, you know, we were always outside when we were kids, always outside. We were always in the woods, always playing. My mum and dad would come outside and play with us, you know. But yeah, we've been so lucky, me and my sisters, to... We've always had such a loving push from my parents, always in life. Whatever we want to do, like, they've always supported us 100%. We've never had an expectation from them, you know.
That's amazing. And, like, also along with, like, where you're from, I mean, from what I've experienced in just the couple of visits I've done with your country
mm-hmm.
and the different cities, is that it's very clear, whether it's Dublin or Limerick or even, like, Galway and, like,
mm-hmm.
even in the north, like Belfast and Bangor and cities like that, it's
mm-hmm.
like, within the countries as a whole, there's this beautiful understanding that being a musician, it can be and is a profession.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like growing up and having that background that you do with your family and being able to witness that, where there is a sense of respect in a profession like
mm-hmm.
that, I think that's something very powerful.
Yeah, no, for sure. It definitely is.
Yeah. So something I actually don't get to ask many artists, and when I experienced this album of yours, I kind of knew I really needed to ask you those.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to, like, because obviously you're still living with it only came out back
mm-hmm.
in January,
mm-hmm.
it was, yeah.
yeah,
and what's really cool is that I feel like because you're the artist, you do get to have different thoughts and opinions of these songs
mm-hmm.
in a form of metamorphosis. Like, the way you felt about a song yesterday isn't going to be the same way you feel about a song today.
Sure.
Is there a song off the album that you've been finding yourself in particularly reflective about lately?
Yes, actually, the title track, Bear. So that was written about the relationship I was in at the time, and since I've gotten out of that relationship, so the way I feel about that song, like, it still, like, it stings my heart when I hear it, because it came from quite a sad place, but yeah, I guess the way I listen to that has changed. Probably what I'm gonna say about that one.
No, that's that's quite revealing within itself. But
yeah.
I mean, what's beautiful about that, with that song and the sentiment that you just described in regards to it, and this goes back to the album as a whole, it's like because you're talking about these experiences the way you have been and the way you sing about them,
mm-hmm.
people really can put themselves in it.
Yeah, well, that's what I really wanted to do. You know, I wanted to create kind of. The process of this album for me, the creative process, was very much a healing process. It, like, documents my healing journey, you know, and I really wanted to kind of create somewhat of a healing room for listeners to go into if they want to, if they, you know, they could put my album on and just kind of go into themselves and hopefully relate to the music and we could all heal together. That's what I wanted to create with my album, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it will definitely mention within the intro, but within the themes of the album, you've been very open about anxiety and depression and
mm-hmm.
dealing with those experiences and having experiences within dealing with those.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's just so beautiful is that there is a big element of storytelling within the album of itself, but
yeah.
you are so direct in the things that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I guess that kind of goes back to the first question I had, where it's like, it is one thing to write about experiences in a way where it's like, this is my experience, I'm going to write about
mm-hmm.
it, but to share so much of yourself, that's a big thing.
It is a big thing, and, you know, it can be hard. The thing is, I have to be honest in my music, and I write my music, obviously I'm writing them for people to listen to, but the main reason behind me creating music is to help myself. It's to vent and to just, with every song I write, whether it's a happy song or a sad song, you know, it allows me to grow, it allows me to heal, it allows me to fully process experiences, and yeah, I guess I have to be as honest as I possibly can be with myself in order to do that. So.
I mean, grow, heal, process, I mean, these are words that I'm really loving that you're using, in
yeah.
the sense that I've been fortunate to be around a lot of musicians and various ages and like placements in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
When I was reading about you, I read how you got involved in the industry when you were 16.
It was.
And something that's really mad to me is I've been around bands and singers that young and like 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's really sad is like, usually within those ages, within the realm of an industry, you're never taught what those words mean or you're not equipped
mm-hmm.
within those words. So. I think it's really beautiful that you found yourself at a place where those words mean so much to you, because they are important words.
They are important words, and, you know, I guess I owe it to the child within me who did get signed. I was actually 15 when I started getting offered. I was so young, I was a child, and I didn't have much guidance at all, you know. And when you're a child, especially that age, you need people you look up to, you need that kind of guidance. So I guess now the reason I'm trying to, you know, say these words, include these words, it's very much for that part of me, and for, you know, maybe other musicians who are listening who will then be inspired and, you know.
yeah. You know, going off that, the next question I have, I was going to bring it up later, but I think it's a good time to bring it up
cool.
now. And it's a bit of a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the Rosie at 15, 16 would feel and think about this album you've released? And what do you think she would think about the album cover?
I think she would be really proud of the album cover. I think she would think that's really cool. especially because that young me was not very well, always trying to hide, you know. I tried to create a very confident, strong image with that album cover, you know. I really wanted to be looking directly to the listeners, you know, because I spent so many years whilst growing up just trying to hide who I was and trying to, you know, just, yeah, I was very much hiding behind who I wanted to be. And so I think I'd be very proud, and to listen to the songs, I think my younger self would also just feel relieved to know that I got through it and these beautiful songs came out as a result, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think a quality that your album has that anyone who listens to it will take away from it is that regardless of whether you enjoy the songs or not, and obviously the songs are enjoyable, but even if you're listening and you're someone who would enjoy the songs, there's so much honesty there that quality transcends any matter of the entertainment factor. Mm-hmm. And that's not a lot of people could do that.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's huge that.
Oh, I mean, again, it's just honesty.
Yeah.
You've got to be honest. I think that's what we're all looking for at the end of the day. We're looking for honesty and something to relate to.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. So, funnily enough, the show that you're on was inspired by a chat that I had with the lovely Lisa Hannigan, who was sitting right over there the same way you are.
Mm-hmm.
The whole story about it is I spent some days with her and was so taken aback by how funny she is.
She's great.
Yeah,
she's good.
And it sounds weird to say this out loud, but for people who aren't familiar with Lisa Hannigan, if you listen to her music, you wouldn't expect her to be so much humor behind the music. So what started the podcast is that we realized that just having a written type of feature wouldn't do her justice,
mm-hmm.
and that the world hear how funny she is.
Yeah.
The reason I'm bringing up Lisa Hannigan is that you have a song with her that we talked a little bit briefly,
yes.
Thousand. I'm sure you've talked about it loads, but can you tell me what it was like to just bring this one to...
I love talking about this because I still can't believe that Lisa Hannigan sings in my song. It's like, I'm still pinching myself. I'm such a fan. I've always been a fan of hers. I really have, and she was kind of this iconic female musician that I would look up to when I was younger, you know? But yeah, she... Oh my God, I just remember. I met her at a festival in 2017, and I was in the hotel lobby, and I saw her, and I just, I was playing at the same festival as her, and I had just seen her performing in the Cork Opera House, and I saw her in the lobby, and I kind of looked away. I was like, oh my God, I can't go talk to her. And she made eye contact with me, and she came over to me, and she's like, hi Rosie, I love your music.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh fuck, what do I do? This wasn't supposed to happen. it was crazy, and we were just chatting, and she was so lovely, and she's the kind of person that makes you feel like you've been a friend of hers for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
And she was just like, yeah, please, if you ever need backing vocals, please let me know. And I was like, well, fuck, I will. I definitely will let you know. And so, yeah, I wrote Thousand, and I really wanted to, you know, because it's about my mum, and it's about my mum looking after my grandmother. It's about, like, strong females in my life, so I really wanted to like give her that extra push, and I thought maybe getting a female musician that I look up to sing on it would definitely, you know, that would make it just the dreamiest track. And
yeah,
so I sent it to Lisa, and yeah, she had the vocals sent within a couple of days.
That's amazing.
It was incredible. It was just oh my God. It's so cool.
There's so many things I like about that story, like I don't even know where to begin, but I guess the biggest being that, like, I mean, in a lot of ways, not just because she's a woman, but
mm-hmm.
also because she is a musician and
yeah.
what she's experienced in the industry and where she is now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always important for musicians at the stage you are now to be able to see people who are navigating their careers in a way that's completely theirs. And I feel like she's a prime example of that, where she as well has been through so much shit
yeah.
in different ways, but
mm-hmm.
with where her career is now, you could tell it's clearly in her hands.
Yeah, it's, and you know, it seems to me that Lisa, it's been like how she portrays herself as an artist has always been a constant, and that for me is very inspiring to see that she's, you know, she's still doing her thing and she seems very happy and she's, you know, yeah.
I think what's really cool about it is it must I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like in some ways it must relate to you that no matter where you go from here, there's always going to be a place for you.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah.
You know, thank you so much for opening so much. I'm just here at the last question, but mm-hmm. I'm really glad we got to make this happen.
It's been lovely.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to live with your album a little bit before it was released and then after it was released, of course. And mm-hmm. I have to say, even though we're only in May, it's definitely been a big standout. It's one of those albums that you listen to, and I feel like every time you go back, at least for me because of how bad I am listening to lyrics, I just notice a different line or a word that just makes me go, oh, that's clever.
Like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's great.
But we touched earlier about like how a lot of the songs you've been open about dealing with depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. and you know, if people want to like look up how candid you've been about that, it's so easy to find out. But mm-hmm. I'm more interested in understanding what people like. What do you feel it is that people who have a what's a good way to describe it? What do you think is a good way that people who have minimal like understanding of what it's like to go through that? Not what they could do to help, but what do you feel it is that people tend not to understand that you wish they could understand better?
You mean like people that maybe don't have like anxiety or depression?
Yeah.
I guess just like educating themselves and how to, you know, help people around them. It's like what, 1 in 10 people suffer from a mental health? Maybe it's more than 5 people or something like that. And the other 5 people are going to be what, families, friends, co-workers, and those people just, you know, if they could educate themselves and how to be supportive and just not completely act like everything is fine. Not that I'm saying that they do, but just, you know, yeah, I think educating themselves. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
No, it kind of does. I guess it was more in regards to, like, what do you feel it is that's also misunderstood? At least in, like, with this experience that you've had the last few years about being open with what you've gone through, do you ever feel like people misunderstand it at all? Or?
Oh, yeah, some people can get offended by my openness. And
offended?
I guess some people just don't... I feel like it comes from a place where they want to be open, but something's holding them back from being open. Then when they see someone, I don't know, having the courage to speak out, some people can... it can make them upset because they haven't got that support or that love around them that's given them that push to be open. So, I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm doing this question any justice.
No, you are. Well, I mean, you are in the sense that, I mean, out of all the words I probably expect you to say, offense is probably the last word. I mean, you definitely explained the why behind it, but I guess I'm curious, how does that offense tend to manifest itself? Do people tend to, like, give disparaging comments or say really weird things?
Some people like I've gotten comments like, you know, oh, that's really depressing, that's just like really sad, like some people think my music
is really
bad. Yeah. Like it literally is depressing because, you know, this is the experience I've had with depression. But yeah, people just they can do that. I mean, I haven't got like loads of that, but yeah, I guess when I
it's weird that, like...
Yeah.
But I love the way that you see it, because it's not necessarily out of a place of pity, and it kind of goes back to what we're talking about with even your home country, where it's like... Mm. And, you know, we're in New York right now, in America, and I could be the spokesperson for America and say, as much as it's more common for people to be open about things they're going through, it is still very much not the overarching norm. Mm. So... in the way you describe that, I think it also comes from a place that both of our countries, they don't openly facilitate it being common for people to be open about what they're going through. So I guess that's where that pushback comes from a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're still doing what you're doing, so...
Thank you.
Yeah, screw people who are offended.
Yeah,
Rosie, thanks so much for talking. I
Thank
really do
you
appreciate
so much.
It.
This has been great.